Shalom, this is Ethel Chadwick. Today's program of Bagels and Blessings was previously recorded at an earlier time. Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to another week of Bagels and Blessings.
Of course, that was the voice of Jonathan Sattel from the Sattel Gallery. I am really excited today for two reasons. Number one, I have a telephone interview with Messianic Rabbi Henry Morse. Some of you might know him as the Great Benefucci. He's just written a book called The Lord Chose Who? And he has a lot of excitement, a lot of passion, and we had a great interview. And I'm also excited because I am featuring music that Paul Wilbur just released. This is his brand new CD called Your Great Name. And I'm going to start it off right now with the first song on the CD. It's called Song of Ezekiel.
Son of man, can these dry bones live?
Sang to these dry bones.
Live again, live again. Those who are sleeping, those in the grave. Live again, live again. Those who are sleeping, those in the grave. Live again. Preparing for war, and I can hear Judah assembling praises their weapon of war. Live again, live again. Those who are sleeping, those in the grave. Live again, live again. Those who are sleeping, those in the grave.
Those who were sleeping, those in the grave. raise up an army, raise up an army, raise up an army from the dust of the earth. Raise up an army, raise up an army, raise up an army of worshippers. Raise up an army, raise up an army, raise up an army from the dust of the earth. Raise up an army, raise up an army, raise up an army. Again to these dry bones, breath of God from the four winds blow. Breathe life again to these dry bones, breath of God from the four winds blow. Breathe life again to these dry bones, breath of God from the four winds blow. Breathe life again.
Again, that was Paul Wilbur from his brand new CD called Your Great Name. And that song, of course, refers to the passage in Ezekiel 37 where it talks about the Valley of the Dry Bones. This is Ethel Chadwick, and you're listening to Bagels and Blessings. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Congregation Shema Yisrael. Please join us for worship Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock a.m. We're located at 1326 North Winton Road, about a half a mile south of Empire Boulevard. While you're in Shema, please visit the Fig Tree Bookstore. You can get all kinds of books, CDs, cards, jewelry, and shofars. The Fig Tree is open every Saturday after our 10 o'clock service, and it's also open on Tuesdays between 2 and 6 p.m. and on Wednesdays between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. And if you're listening to Bagels and Blessings and you live closer to Buffalo, New York, please visit Congregation Brith Hadashah. They have a new location at 50 Alberta Drive in Amherst, and their services are every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m.
Has broken us free. The horses and riders are gone. They have drowned in the sea. With a breath from his lips, the waters were raised. Our Lord is a warrior. His name will be praised. Deliverance.
Well from her CD Home Away From Home. And you know, that song just gets me thinking about Passover. Maybe you'd like to attend Congregation Shema Israel's Passover Seder. It's going to be on Saturday, March 30th at 11 o'clock a.m. at the Burgundy Basin Inn. If you're interested in getting tickets, you can call the Congregational Office at 585-288-0670, or you can purchase your tickets after our Shabbat services at Shema, and the deadline is March 23rd. Bagels and Blessings is also sponsored by Pharaoh's Harem Salon and Spa. They're a family-owned business, and they have a very experienced training team. If you need a new hairdo, or you'd like to get a massage, a facial, a manicure, or a pedicure, be sure to visit Pharaoh's Harem Salon and Spa. There are two locations. One of them is on West Henrietta Road, just down the street from Marketplace Mall. The Henrietta store number is 585-359-2249. And their Fairport number is 223-5850. They're in Packets Landing on the Canal in Fairport, 585-223-5850. Come into Pharaoh's Harem today, and you'll be treated like royalty. Here's Joshua Aaron.
Gadol Elohai, Shiru ki gadol Elohai, Kol echad yireh ki gadol Elohai.
Oh,
that's Joshua Aaron from his new CD, You Are Holy. And now it's time to hear a word from one of my sponsors, Odell Family Chiropractic.
Your back is a delicate matter. Everyday things can affect it.
This is the last time I'm picking your toys up off the floor. Oh boy, it just went out.
Major injuries can leave you in bed for days.
Look out!
It's called vertebral subluxation. It's what happens when your back is thrown out of its correct alignment. It causes major pains and in time may damage internal functions. That's why the first time you visit Odell Family Chiropractic, they will determine if x-rays of your spine are needed to pinpoint the exact problem. If they find that they can help you, they'll develop a care plan to allow the spine to achieve the correct position and strengthen it so that it will want to stay strong. They'll prove it to you. During your care with them, they'll show you x-rays of the progression your spine is making while moving into its correct alignment. Visit any of the 4 Odell Family Chiropractic locations today to receive a free preventative health evaluation. Call 671-9210. That's 671-9210. Say goodbye to back pain permanently.
This is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings. And today I'm going to be airing a pre-recorded interview that I did with Messianic Rabbi Henry Morse just a few days ago. And I'm also featuring some new music. This is Paul Wilbur from his new CD, Your Great Name. And this song is called Glory Come Down. Amen.
I long to find you in your secret place, O God, under the shadow of your wings. Here in your presence, there's no place I'd rather be. I need you more than anything. Glory, come down. Glory, come down. Glory, come down. Like a mighty rushing wind, rise up and worship as we sing. All creation longs to hear the joyful sound of the returning of our
come down, glory come down.
come down.
Ethel Chadwick, you're listening to Bagels and Blessings, and just a reminder that today's show was previously recorded at an earlier time, so there won't be a bagel contest today, but be sure to catch the program next week where I'll be live in the studio and you'll definitely have a chance to win. I also want to thank Excellent Air Heating and Cooling for sponsoring Bagels and Blessings. They are the best there is. And you know, if you have any problems with your furnace, if you're awfully cold and want to know why it's not working, give them a call today at 889-7840. They're a family-owned and operated business with over 30 years' experience in the heating and cooling profession. Their prices are the best around, and you can trust them because they love the Lord. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling. Give them a call today at 889-7840.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for God shall comfort them. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. For behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like the Son of Man is coming. Rejoice and lift your head up to the sky, your redemption draweth nigh. Blessed are those who show mercy, for that is what they surely will receive. How blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see Elohim. Blessed are those who make peace, they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like the Son of Man is coming. Rejoice and lift your head up to the sky, your redemption draweth nigh.
That was Ted Pierce from his CD Emergency, and it's called Your Redemption Draws Nigh. In a few minutes, you're going to hear my interview with Henry Morse, and he's a nice Jewish boy that found that Jesus is the Messiah, and he talks about reading the New Testament for the first time, and this song is quoting the Beatitudes and all the words of Yeshua in Matthew chapter 5. And I remember reading it for the first time and just being so excited, finding out that it's not anti-Semitic. And the words were beautiful, and I was just blown away, and I fell in love with the words of Yeshua. Another sponsor I want to thank is New Birth Computers. They can take great care of your computer by scanning and removing spyware, malware, and viruses, repairing your hardware, upgrading your computer like adding more memory, a larger hard drive, adding a DVD burner, setting up and configuring home networks, wired and wireless, converting all your old Super 8 home movies or home videotapes to DVD. If you mention you heard this ad on Bagels and Blessings, New Birth Computers will pay the sales tax portion of your bill. Such a deal. Call Bruce Bay today at 585-293-3407. That's 293-3407. Or send him an email at newbirthcomputers@rochester.rr.com.
Shalom, Joel Chernoff here for the Restoration of Israel Minute. Did you know that God promised in Genesis 22:18 that through Israel, all of the nations would be blessed? Remember all those floppy disks? What a nuisance. In 1982, Israeli Dove Moran invented the USB flash drive. Today, the USB can store up to 256 gigabytes of memory. That's the equivalent of 12 million document pages and fits neatly into your pocket. From world leaders to you at home, the USB has been a blessing to all. This is Joel Chernoff for the Restoration of Israel Minute. Shalom.
Today, over 40% of Israelis live in poverty. We have an opportunity to return the blessing God has given us through Israel by becoming a part of God's prophesied restoration of Israel. To learn more, go to ROIMinute.com. That's ROIMinute.com.
Shalom. This is Paul Wilbur with Integrity Music, and you're listening to Bagels and Blessings.
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shema Yisrael. That's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L. And please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And come and experience Messianic worship in person Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Shema Yisrael is located at 1326 North Winton Road, about a half mile south of Empire Boulevard.
Just a reminder, today's show was pre-recorded, and I'm happy to bring you my interview now with Messianic Rabbi Henry Morse. Enjoy. Shalom, Rabbi Henry, and welcome back to Bagels and Blessings.
You mean I've been here before? This is like Vuja Day?
A long time ago, in a galaxy far away.
Right. When I was a younger pup. When I was a little Yoda.
When we were both younger pups, yeah. Believe me. Wow, it is so nice to reconnect with you. I've always been a fan.
Well, you know, it's good because in the summertime we need as many fans as we can get, so we take what we can get, you know. It's pretty lame, wasn't it?
That's okay.
I heard that delayed laugh.
No, I thought it was cute. Yeah, it was cute. And so, my goodness, the last time I saw you, you were walking around on stilts doing acrobatics, and I think that might have been before you were a rabbi. Now you're a rabbi and an author. My goodness, you just keep changing.
Well, you know, morphing is good because as you get older and your back starts to get humped over and you start to look like the hunchback and you limp and you go, oi, you know, it's not so, you know, being an acrobat, it's not so easy anymore. I am going to do a flip, but catch me on the way down, please. I'm going down. the flips are flops. They're not so much. You know, the thing is, I'm going to be 55 years old soon. I've been doing the acrobatics and the shtick, as we say, since I started training when I was 9 years old. That was a long time ago. And I've been performing and doing the shtick up until up until about 50 years old. 10 years ago, we started our congregation in Stoughton, Mass., which is 3.1 miles from Sharon. Sharon is the most densely Jewish populated community in the country. It's, 70-something percent Jewish. And it's a huge community. It's actually, so I take that back, it's not huge. It's extremely densely populated. There's 18,000 people there, and 72% of them are Jewish, and it's a very Orthodox community. And, you know, this is where I was raised, this area. And 10 years ago when the Lord told me to start this congregation, I did it reluctantly because I didn't feel that I was actually qualified. I had never led a congregation. I'd been an evangelist. I'd been a youth pastor. I had been a missionary with Jews for Jesus. I worked with Chosen People Ministries. I was, you know, I've done a lot of different things. But being a rabbi at a congregation is not the same as juggling fire, walking rope, acting like a dope, and gathering crowds and preaching in the streets. That's a whole lot easier, even when you're getting spit on, than leading a congregation. So this has been quite a challenge for me. It's really been a learning experience. I've grown. I've done a lot of writing, a lot of blogging. Of course, I still do my evangelism. And on a rare occasion, I do a show here and there because, you know, I'm not dead yet. My body might not be exactly what it was, but I'm not dead yet, so I can still do it.
Do you still use the title, The Great Benefucci?
When I do my shtick, I do, yeah. When I do a little bit of, you know, something here and there. As a matter of fact, I'll probably have a show coming up in March. I might have a show. I've got a lot happening on my docket. Actually, we started a congregation, believe it or not, in Hilo, Hawaii.
Hawaii, aloha, or shall I say shaloha?
That's what they say. We say aloha minahunis. And so I've got a work right now there, and I'm back and forth to Hilo quite a bit. Suffering. Oy, am I suffering for the Lord? Azachem ve gavalt, it's so horrible.
Well, somebody had to go to Hawaii, and you volunteered.
And, you know, it opened up some doors in the strangest ways. It wasn't exactly something that I was planning on. I was out there ministering. The Lord opened up some doors, and we met some Messianics, and they didn't have a work, and they were already doing something on their own. And, you know, it's called Hilo Beit Yeshua. Hilo House of Salvation.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, that is on the Big Island, correct?
It's on the Gunsa Machta Island, yeah. The Big Island.
Oh, my goodness, because my sister used to live there, and she was in Kailua Kona on the other side of the island. And I remember I met a few of the Messianic Jews that lived there, and at the time they didn't have a congregation.
No, and actually we've got a number of people there who are, I guess, we meet them on Skype. So Saturday night, 6 o'clock my time, I meet them on Skype after our day is over here, and then some of them are at the compound, we call it, because they meet at a farm. Well, they have a big farm and they meet there, and then others from the other side of the island Skype in, and then they come together for the new moons, for the holidays, and because it's a little bit of a schlep for them. Gas is very expensive out there, so they try and come together as often as they can, but they're doing a good work. They're doing a good work. And then right now I'm also doing some stuff in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Alaska?
Yeah, I know. We're talking about totally opposite ends of the spectrum here, aren't we?
My goodness. It's funny that you said Alaska, because I just finished watching this movie called Into the Wild. And just promise me you're not going to go off and live in a bus somewhere.
I already did that when I was a kid. I lived in a van for 2 years after I got out of high school. I was homeless. I lived in a big 1959 GMC bread truck.
Oy
vey. Yeah, I went from being an Orthodox Jew to a backslidden hippie.
Well, you know, Rabbi Henry, for the benefit of those that haven't heard your story, and I know that we don't have hours and hours and hours, but I wondered if you could give a little bit of the shtick about how the nice Jewish boy like you found Jesus.
Well, you know, again, it was, you know, where do I start? Come on.
I don't know.
Give me another 52 minutes. 52 and a half. I was raised Orthodox Jew in Boston. At one time, Mattapan, Dorchester, and Roxbury, the area that I was raised in, not too far from me now, was the second largest Jewish community in the country. Of course, demographics changed radically, and that's what happened. And in the 70s, after graduating high school, I was kind of like the tail end of the hippie generation. I was determined that I was going to repeat as much as I could and try and hold on to the hippie movement and see if I could relive it. I had just kind of missed it. It was at the tail end, and I went from being that Orthodox Jew to a backslidden hippie, and I was hitchhiking and schlepping my little Jewish tuchus. I was a wandering Jew all over the country. Ended up in Colorado, and ended up in San Francisco, Washington. To make a long story short, a very long story, I found myself on top of a mountain in Colorado, preparing to throw myself off. I'd been through the whole Gunsa Magella, the Eastern mysticism, the transcendental dental floss, the whole shtick. I did it all. The wild, the women, the parties, the songs, the drugs. Someone had given me, believe it or not, a Brit Chadashah, New Covenant Scriptures, 2 years previous to that, which I tried to throw out for a number of years. And to make a long story short, I remember I received it graciously, but I I threw it out, and I felt guilty. I took it out of the garbage. I put it in my underwear drawer. I felt even guiltier. It made its way around my room. I that my mom should not see this New Testament. I'm in trouble. And finally, I remember when I was hitchhiking, you know, before I went on my little journey, my little pilgrimage to nowhere, I put it in my backpack. And on top of a mountain in Colorado, being totally devastated because not knowing what to live for, not because I wanted to die, I just didn't know what to live for. The Lord spoke to me. He said, read that Bible. I pulled the scriptures out, and I read the entire New Covenant scripture straight through and came to faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And I didn't know what else to do, so I came off the mountain, and I started sharing and preaching and teaching the best I knew. I didn't know much, but obviously my homily needed a little bit of work. I basically came down from the mountain, and my basic attitude was, dude, man, you know, Jesus, he's far out, man, groovy, you know.
And when you came down from the mountain, I have to ask, was your hair white and your face shining?
No, but it's white now. Have you seen a picture of me lately?
Don't scare me. No.
My beard is gone. It's white.
Wow.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
I was going to say it happens to the best of us, but wait a minute, I don't have a beard.
No, you don't. And I see in this picture you dye your hair.
Hey, shh.
Don't tell me.
Tell no one.
So anyways, I ended up back in Albuquerque where my parents were, and I found a good congregation. I actually was discipled in the Assemblies of God, and God bless them, good folks, and they did good by me, but, you know, I started growing, and I started realizing, and I ended up in Bible college at the Assemblies of God in Springfield, Missouri, and with my lovely wife of 32 years now. I've got, by the way, just so you'll know, 5 kids and 5 grandchildren later.
Oh my goodness, mazel tov.
And tough mazel too, trust me. So,
yeah.
Anyways, and it was a good experience in many ways, but I had to stop and ask myself a lot of questions as I started really growing, because as much as they taught me, there was a lot to relearn, because the basic attitude back then was, you know, you've converted, you're not a Jew anymore, and it wasn't an official policy necessarily, but it was their atmosphere, and it was a kind of a latent form of replacement theology, and as a result of it, I swallowed it, hook, line, and sinker. I took off my Mogen David, my Star of David, and put on a big honking cross, and ended up doing the whole Guns of Megillah, Assemblies of God thing. And then eventually I found myself questioning, even about halfway through my Bible college experience, as I started really studying Tanakh, really studying Scripture, really getting into the Jewish context of the Gospel, and I couldn't reconcile a number of things. And again, as much as these brethren were wonderful to me, I had to abandon a number of the things that were taught to me, because I really came to a true understanding of the Jewish context. And when I say Jewish, I don't mean rabbinic, I mean the biblical Jewish, the biblical Hebrew context of Yeshua and what he taught. And it just didn't jive with, forgive me when I say it, Christianity as we understand it today. And
right, well, you know, I think what happened to you happens to so many Jewish people, yeah, across the world when they accept Jesus as their Savior, and they suddenly are taught and they really believe that they can no longer be Jews.
Right, right. And for me, again, this was bad. This is a number of years ago. This was in the 80s. I graduated in 87 from college. And, you know, about halfway through that experience, I really, you know, and I got into a lot of trouble with the administration, and I was called a Judaizer, and I was this, and I was that. And it's been quite a journey, because your goal is to reinvent yourself as your faith grows. You have no choice, and you have to change, because there are 38,000 different denominations in the world, and you have to ask yourself the question, what is the body supposed to look like? Is it supposed to look like 38,000 different flavors of faith? And you, when you look at the history of Christianity, it is scarred and checkered. And this is what I wrote in my book, with the horrendous, horrible things that they have done in the name of their Jesus. I say that not to be cruel, but it's not my biblical Yeshua. He didn't come out to persecute and kill and maim and destroy. And, you know, he said, turn the other cheek. He said, you know, forgive 70 times 7. He told Peter, put away your sword. Those who live by the sword will die by the sword. The message that Yeshua brought was not a message of kill my people. And so when you look at the writings of even Martin Luther at the end of his life, when he wrote his little booklet called The Jews and Their Lies, he was a horrible, horrible example of the true Messiah. And Hitler, in Mein Kampf, used some of his writings as an example of why they should hate the Jews. And so I cannot accept killing in the name of Yeshua. I cannot accept, you know, the violence that has been affected upon the Jewish people. I look at Romans chapter 11, And I see, you know, when Rav Shaul says, do not boast against the natural branches, they were cut off because of unbelief, but you stand by faith. But be careful, lest you be cut off as well. And so he warns them, and that Romans 11 is such a pivotal passage, because we realize how much Rav Shaul understands Tanakh, and he understands the concept of why the Jews were created. They were created to be, according to Isaiah, or Legoim, a light to the Gentiles, and to bring them in. And, you know, you look at, for example, the book of Zechariah chapter 14, Isaiah chapter 66, Isaiah 2, Micah 4, they all speak of the millennial kingdom and what's going to happen. And you see that in Isaiah and in Isaiah in Zechariah, he's going to restore the biblical feasts. He's going to restore the priestly system. In Isaiah, he's going to take some Gentiles for priests and for Levites. He's going to celebrate, we're going to celebrate the holiday of Sukkot. It just goes on and on and on about what the body of believers is going to look like in the millennial kingdom. And I have to tell you, it doesn't look like the church today. We see, as he says in Isaiah chapter 2, when he talks about how, you know, they'll all come to worship me in Mount Zion. They'll beat their swords in the plowshares, their spears in the pruning hooks. You know, he specifically says it's going to be in his mountain. It's not going to be in Independence, Missouri, as the Mormons say. It's not going to be in Springfield, as the Assemblies of God say. I'm just teasing with them. It's not going to be it's not going to be in Rome. It's going to be in Jerusalem. Jerusalem will be a praise in all the earth. And when we go and celebrate Sukkot, he says, from one new moon to one new moon, and from one Shabbat to one Shabbat, all flesh shall come and worship before me, says the Lord. Well, that means he's going to reestablish his Moedim, his appointed times and seasons, according to Leviticus 23. He's going to, you know, the new moons, the Rosh Chodesh, he's going to reestablish those. And the Shabbat, it's all going to be brought back. So I would have to ask the church, as much as I love them, as much as I appreciate them, you know, is Ishtar, Easter, Christmas, Lent, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, all the other shtiklach that they do, St. Valentine's, the whole Ganze Megillah, it's not going to be here. There's not going to be steeples. There's not going to be crosses. There's going to be Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah, according to Ephesians chapter 2. There's going to be a one new man, and it's going to look like the family that they were adopted into in the beginning. That's going to Amen. Look like Abraham's family.
Amen. Now, you bring out a lot of these points in your book, because
yeah.
I want to be sure to mention this book.
I beat you to the gun. I got preaching. It was my fault. I'm sorry.
That's okay. You're passionate and enthusiastic. I would expect no less.
I can feel it. It's oozing out of my body.
Yeah. By the way. Yeah.
No, that's just the BO my wife says I have.
Oh, please. I can't smell a thing from here. The name of your book is The Lord Chose... dot, dot, dot. Who?
Yes.
And, of course, the O in who is a Jewish star. I really enjoyed this, and I have to tell you, you have something in the beginning which really cracked me up. It was in your introduction.
Was it my credentials?
And you list... Yeah, okay. Messianic Rabbi Henry M. Morse, B.A., A.D.D., A.D.H.D., O.C.D., et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
I mean... Your personality came through.
Well, you know, it's sad because some people took that serious. They said, these credentials are impressive.
Oh, my goodness. Well, tell me now, who are you hoping will read your book?
Everyone. Right now I'm mailing it to rabbis. I'm giving it to the church. I'm giving it to unbelievers. In the back of the book, I say it's for everyone. I only made it 180 pages, something like that. It wasn't a big book. I'm starting another one right now. I'm actually in the middle of another one. And the title of it is My Name Is Not God. And it's about the name and the titles of the Lord and the etymology of this and why it's important to understand and be familiar with his titles and what they express about his character. I want people to know the Jewishness of the gospel, Jew and Gentile. It doesn't matter who they are. I've given this to Catholic priests. I'm not selling the book. All donations are greatly appreciated because I got to reprint them. But I didn't write a book to sell it to become famous. I wrote a book because it was the passion of my heart. The Lord laid this upon my heart, and I feel that it's the hub, let me rephrase it, a hub, one of the hubs, for understanding the gospel for the Jew. When the Jew understands why he was chosen, according to Bereshit, Genesis chapter 17, Genesis 12, I'm sorry, 17 was the Brit Milah. When he understands why he was chosen in Genesis 12, He says, I'll make of you a great nation. I'll bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who curse you. And in you, Avram, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Well, when he understands that he was created, not chosen, because Avram wasn't a Jew, and that he created him, that the Gentiles, the Goyim, remember you when you were a little girl, your mom said, don't go by the Goyim.
Right.
And that was said in such a passionate way with a sense of...
derogatory.
Yeah, it was very derogatory. And of course, you know, I don't want you should date a Shiksa. I don't want you should date a Shegitz. And it was all, yeah, the Gentiles were negative. But you don't find that in the scripture. The attitude of the Lord is he wants all men, Jew and Gentile, and it's found from the beginning. He wants them to come and know him. And again, you know, it's funny because I was reading that, you know, that passage a number of times. I'm doing a Bible study at one of the local colleges, Eastern Nazarene College in Quincy. And I love these students. Some of them, a number of them come to the congregation. And we're having a chance to really impact their lives and address these issues. And they're really growing and starting to understand the Jewishness of the gospel, which is just amazing. But when you look, for example, in Isaiah, he says, Isaiah chapter 66, that's a hard word. When I was younger, I used to speak English. Isaiah 66, 18, he says, I know their works and their thoughts. The time is coming to gather all the nations and the tongues, and they shall come see my glory. Hagoyim, it's not negative, the nations and the tongues. And they shall come and see my glory. Where are they coming? They're going to come to Yerushalayim. I will set a sign among them, and I will send survivors from them to the nations. Well, if, for the sake of time, and I don't know how much time is left, he is specifically speaking about the millennial kingdom. If you read this, you'll get this as you see the context. So I'm not going to defend that point now. Read it, 66:18. You'll see it, and I promise it. It's pretty obvious.
One thing about your book that I noticed, you're one of the only people that I've ever seen talk about tithing in the way that you did. And someone, I'm not going to mention a name, but someone who's very near and dear to me agrees 100% with you. And I don't know if you want to talk about that on this interview or not.
Well, I can. I'd be happy to. But let me finish this passage in 66, and then we can get to that. He says, right. My fame, they'll see my glory. They will declare my glory among the nations to the Gentiles. This is why we were created. This is the premise of the book, understanding. And I basically, the entire book is just an intensive 180 or 60 whatever page exegetical Bible study on why the Jews are created. And it says, they will declare my glory among the nations. Then they shall bring, the they that he's talking about are the Gentiles. And when you read it, you'll see the context. They shall bring all your brethren, because Isaiah is talking to Jews, from all the nations. This is the fulfillment of the Jew being brought back to the land. It was partly fulfilled in 48, but it comes to its fulfillment and fruition in this passage. It hasn't happened totally yet. They shall bring all your brethren, the Gentiles meaning, from all the nations as grain offering to the Lord on horses, chariots, litters, mules, mopeds, and on camels to my holy mountain Jerusalem. Okay, forget the mopeds. So they're going to go to Jerusalem, and the Gentiles, the Jew and the Gentile, are going to go to Jerusalem. And all these different capacities, he's talking about ancient transportation ways. Just as the sons of Israel bring their grain offering in a clean vessel to the house of the Lord. And then he says, I will also take some of them for priests and Levites, says the Lord. And who is he going to take in that passage? Just priests and Levites.
Mm.
He's talking about the Gentiles.
Wow.
Yeah, I know that.
I think, you know, there's been prejudice on both sides, and it's not right.
No, it's not. It's about redemption. You know, when you look into John 3:16 that everyone uses as kind of a quick, pithy thing, blah, 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 you know, they quote it like it's a child verse, some kind of child's verse that should be in a kid's book somewhere. It is so wrapped up in the entire theology of all of this. For God so loved the Goyim, for God so loved the Jew, that he gave his only begotten Mashiach, his only begotten son, the Mashiach, that all of this that was prophesied previous to this, and it's not just a few isolated passages, it's everywhere. And remember, I read to you, I didn't read to you, actually, I quoted, in the book of Zechariah, and Zechariah 14, let me get my fat little fingers to flip there, and Zechariah is the last book before Malachi, the great Italian prophet, you know Malachi.
Somebody's going to think you're for real. Malachi, folks. He's just being funny.
I ran out of phlegm. That's why. Because I got a cold. I got some sniffles. I can't say it's too much phlegm. All right. So in this passage in Malachi chapter 14, everyone is going to celebrate from year to year, the Gentiles included. They're going to go up to celebrate the Feast of Booths, and those, Sukkot, and those who do not go, there'll be a plague, and the plague will be, there'll be no rain. And it's funny because he says in verse 20, in that day they'll be inscribed on the bells of the horses, holy to the Lord, and the cooking pots in the Lord's house will be like the bowls before the altar. You know what the cooking pots were? And it wasn't the Chinese food boxes that they brought to us. You know, every Yom Kippur when we broke fast. All right, it's time for breakfast. Let's order Chinese. The cooking pots were what we brought to the Lord when we brought our sacrifice to him. And they were it was the meat that we brought before the Kohanim, the Levites, and the priests. And it says the cooking pots in the Lord's house will be like the bowls before the altar. So in the end times, in the millennial reign, we are going to be sacrificed before the Lord, and every cooking pot in Jerusalem and in Judah will be holy to the Lord of hosts, and all who sacrifice will come and take of them and boil in them, and there will no longer be a Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts in that day. We'll be doing sacrifice, not for salvation, but for praise. And and not only will we be able to sacrifice before the Lord, we'll be able to partake of them. And remember, if he's going to take Jews and Gentiles as priests and Levites, then everyone, Jew and Gentile, be before the Lord as one new man in the Messiah, separate and distinct in their role, but equal in every other way.
Amen. Well, actually, we don't have time to go into the tithing thing. I'm going to ask the listeners to get a copy of this book, which, by the way, how should they get a copy of the book?
All right, right now they're going to have to email me. I'm going to be on Amazon.com very soon, as soon as I hack me a nit chinek for the printer. He's been kind of a little slow in getting this out. So I'm going to give them my personal email, and then they can email me, and I'll send them a book. If they can send me a donation of any sort, it's helpful. If not, books are, I'm giving them out because I don't want people to go without it. I feel that.
What email should they use?
They're going to use BENAFUCHI, Benafucci. Aha, see, I still use it. Benafucci, B as in boy, E as in everyone, N as in Nudnik, A as in Alfred, F as in Fred, U as in umbrella, let's see what else. C as in cat.
C, Charlie, H,
yeah.
House.
Think about it. I don't think so fast on my feet. So that's Benafucci with a B at AOL.com.
Wonderful. Okay, we have a minute left, right. And I want to ask, how would you like us to be praying for you?
Well, pray that I'll get the second book done. Pray that I'll get the first book into the hands. I want to raise enough money to get this in the hands of every rabbi in Massachusetts.
From your mouth to God's ears.
Yeah, exactly.
You are incredible. You have such high energy, and I'm really excited to see how the Lord is using you. And I think that you are wonderful and an inspiration, and I'm so happy for you and everything, and your family's wonderful. And hey, this has been great.
Well, I'll tell you and my mother both think so.
Hey, your mother.
My mother. Well, Ethel, it's been a pleasure. I've enjoyed. I haven't talked to you in a long time. Call me sometime, and let's do lunch over Skype.
There you go. We can do all that. Right. Thank you so much. Lord bless
all
you.
Right. Thank you, Ethel. Be blessed.
Sure. All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
Again, that was my interview with Messianic Rabbi Henry Morse. And I think we've got time for one more song. This is the King of Kings Assembly, and it's called One God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He, O Israel, the Lord.
Phil Klein with the Aaronic Benediction.
Yivarechech Adonai Vayismarecha Yager Adonai Panavalecha Vikunecha Yisa Adonai Panavalecha V'yasem lecha shalom.
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you. Remember that every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. I'll be back next week right here on 990 AM WDCX. Shabbat Shalom!